Well, if church is a zoo, then Vacation Bible School is creatures in the wild. At a zoo, you'll find, you know, the young creatures moving quite a bit, but the adults sleeping. And so that's, you know, church is a zoo. But at Vacation Bible School, the kids are going even crazier, and you get to see the adults in their natural habitat. They begin to move a little bit more, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see just the generations coming together and learning about Jesus together and celebrating and singing. And we do a pretty good job of that here on Sunday morning, too, so I'm thankful for that. On a typical week, I am supposed to get Kylie my sermon and scripture information by Thursday so that she can print the bulletins on Friday. This Friday, I think as the last bulletin was coming out of the printer, I said, "Hey, you want to hear something funny?" And she said, "What?" And I said, "I think I just changed my scripture passages." So my scripture readings this morning are different than what might be in your bulletin. Our first comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 27. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we in an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Our next comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." And our last scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for this family. I am so thankful that you have invited me to become part of your family. You call me to be one of your sons, that you call all of us to be your sons and daughters. And we pray this morning that you would be teaching us, that you would be teaching us as your sons and daughters, that we would hear your voice and that it would instill within us new truths and a desire to move in new ways. We pray these things in your son's holy name. Amen. Over the last several weeks, I've been in a new sermon series that I've described as a sermon series without a title, but one where we're going to have a little bit of fun. And the first week, we talked about how bacon can teach us about following Jesus, and then last week, unicorns. Today, we're talking about how what the Olympics can teach us about following Jesus. I am not known for being a sports fan. It's not something that I do, but I love the Olympics. Absolutely love watching the Olympics, winter, summer, but I think swimming is my favorite. I really enjoy watching swimming. If you didn't watch any of the Olympics this year, you missed out. There is all kinds of highlights. The U.S. won a total of 113 medals the last time I checked. 39 gold, 41 silver, and 33 bronze. Some highlights were Katie Ledecky winning gold in the women's 1,500-meter swimming. Of course, there was a lot of media surrounding Simone Biles, but that made way for Suni Lee to get gold in the women's all-around in gymnastics. and really the exciting things weren't just with the U.S. The Philippines earned their first ever gold medal in history with Hidilyn Diaz after winning the gold in weightlifting. All kinds of exciting things. Today we're going to be looking at those three passages that I read and three U.S. athletes who competed this year in the Olympics and really diving into what the Olympics can teach us about following Jesus. The first athlete that we're going to talk about is Allison Felix. Allison this year competed in her fifth and final Olympics. And after winning bronze in the women's 400-meter race on Friday, the 35-year-old became the most decorated female Olympian ever. And then yesterday, competing in the 4x400 relay and getting the gold medal, she became the most decorated U.S. track and field Olympian ever, male or female. In a recent interview, she says, "It might sound cliche, but getting to that starting line is an incredible victory for me. I've experienced the hardest years of my life in this journey, and by God's grace, I'm here. With a heart full of gratitude, I'm taking space to remember all it took to get here. So when you see me on the track, I hope you understand my fight. As an athlete who was told I was too old, as a woman who was told to know my place, as a mother who wasn't sure I would live to raise my daughter, I hope that you see that for me, it's about so much more than what the clock says. Among the greatest challenges for Felix, who has had a long history of sharing her faith in Christ, was enduring a challenging birth of her daughter Cameron in 2018, where there was a month stay in the neonatal intensive care unit, requiring an emergency C-section at 32 weeks, and she's been open about how difficult it was to recover from that and return to the sport. But Cameron, her daughter, has since served as her motivation, and she says, "I just want to really show her that no matter what, that you do things with character, integrity, and you don't give up." It takes an incredible amount of work to be an Olympic athlete. And it takes an incredible amount of work to be a Christian. Often we think that it's going to be easy, but the Bible never says that, really. It says the opposite, that being a Christian takes quite a bit of work. In this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is talking using really in athletic terms. Second only to the Olympic Games were the Isthmian Games, which were held every 2 years in Corinth. And it's from these games that Paul is drawing his imagery. In a foot race, there is only one winner. And so every runner is running to the best of their ability, running to try to win, making every effort. Paul's point is that like a runner, Christians are to give their best effort. Competing in the game, the Greek word agonizomai, which gives us words like agony or agonize, it's not meant to be a half-hearted effort. To compete in the games, every competitor would have to go through this 10-month process of training, of grueling, agonizing training. And then after the games, their reward was a crown of oftentimes pine needles, sometimes celery. It was this perishable reward. But as Christians, our reward is much longer lasting than that. The race that we are running, as we're running to Christ, is we're running to a kingdom that will endure forever. Paul says he's not like a runner who does not know where the finish line is, or a boxer who hits nothing by air, either shadow boxing or throwing punches and missing. But his Christianity is purposeful. He puts everything into direct and forceful Christian endeavor. Imagine if you were an Olympic athlete and you didn't know where the finish line was. Wouldn't it be that exciting to watch a race like that? A whole bunch of people just scurrying all over the place. But there's a finish line. And so there is in our faith. That it takes work. Paul uses language that talks boxing, and really the imagery that in the Greek is boxing to give a black eye. That there is this harm that takes place in training. That it's not easy. It's not light work, but it takes incredible effort. And it's not to say that we should abuse our body or cause self-harm in our Christian process, but we should recognize that there is dangers in it, that it's not always going to be comfortable. Second athlete that we're looking at is Helen Morales. She was the women's Olympic gold medal winner in 2016 in the Rio Games. She was the first U.S. woman to win an Olympic wrestling gold and went up against arguably one of the greatest female wrestlers of all time and won. After Rio, she suffered two serious concussions and was diagnosed with PTSD. She retired. She decided that due to the concussions and her diagnosis of PTSD that she could no longer wrestle. She got to a point where she couldn't even think about wrestling and stepped away from it completely in 2019. She was perfectly content to never wrestle again. But she says she was dedicated to embrace what she believed was God's plan for her. And it was at that point that she said, I just kind of felt he revealed to me that if wrestling is where your pain and trauma happen to you and you run away from it the rest of your life, you're never going to heal from it. Morales earned her spot on this year's Olympic team while competing with a torn MCL that wasn't fully healed, adding to the list of obstacles that she had already overcome. And this year, she won the bronze medal. She says, I like sharing what God's done in my life, and I'll share about the good or the bad because at the end of the day, He's with you through all of it, and it's not about winning or losing. It's about knowing that no matter what, He's there and He's good. From quitting to an Olympic bronze medal. It's an incredible story of perseverance and not giving up. And that's what Hebrews 12 is about. About not giving up, to run with perseverance. It's an action that requires effort. No athlete can expect to win without determination or without difficulties. The word, the Greek word, is used multiple times here. It's used in 10:36 and again here in verse 33, and it's this idea of submitting to discipline. Moreover, when it's talking about the race, it uses the word agona, which denotes conflict. There will be struggle, reasons for you to give up, reasons for you to quit. But we need to show endurance. Paul notes that oftentimes the contestants were not able to choose the races that they were running, but they were put into races by masters or people who were in authority over them. And we too do not always get to choose the races that we run or the things that are placed in front of us in life or the obstacles that present themselves in the middle of the race, but we follow after God's plan and the finish line that He has established for us. And we do so by looking towards Christ, that we fix our eyes on Him. As the founder and perfecter of our faith. Really, the beginning to the end, Christ is with us. From the beginning of our faith into the end of our earthly lives, and then beyond, Christ is with us, and that's who we look to. That is our motivation, remembering what Christ has done for us, the lengths that he was willing to go. Yes, you have endured much, but picture what Christ has endured. The creator of the universe willing to sacrifice even himself so that you could understand his love. It says that in the midst of his suffering, Christ found joy. In the midst of arguably the most painful death that humanity has ever known, crucifixion, Jesus found joy. And it says, what Paul is getting at here is that this is the same way that we are to approach life. In the midst of excruciating pain that surrounds us, that fills our lives, that we can find joy because of who Christ is and what he is doing in our lives, of the hope and assurance that we have in him, knowing that, yes, right now is painful, right now is horrible, but we have something better to look forward to. We don't give up. The last athlete that we're looking at is Sydney McLaughlin. 5 weeks after setting the world record and becoming the first woman to finish under 52 seconds in the 400-meter hurdles, Sydney McLaughlin went faster in the Tokyo Olympic final. She beat her own time, winning gold. She says, just trusting the process, giving the glory to God. It's all this season, hard work and dedication, and I'm just really grateful to be able to represent my country and to have this opportunity. She goes on to say, I no longer run for self-recognition, but to reflect his perfect will that is already set in stone. I don't deserve anything, but by grace, through faith, Jesus has given me everything. Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal. What a credible attitude for an athlete to have. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus. Acting in someone's name means that you're both representing them and that you are being empowered by them to represent them. It's an invitation for us to check our behavior, asking ourselves, can I really do this if I am representing the Lord Jesus Christ? And an encouragement to persevere with difficult tasks. And then even again, remembering to give thanks in the process. To remember who Jesus is and what type of image that we should be representing. The true divine human image of God, perfect. The one who was willing to sacrifice so much. This is what we're to represent to the world around us. All that we do, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, should be done to promote the reputation of Jesus. And this only makes sense if Christ is in us. If we have allowed Christ to take up residence within inside of us, to dwell so deeply within us that everything we do is motivated by him, because we so deeply understand his love for us. There's a lifetime of renewal lying ahead of us. That we know that the goal that we are racing towards is perfection, where there's no more sin, where there's no more pain, where there's no more discomfort. And we know that we're going to run this race throughout all of our life and that we will never fully arrive at the finish line until we meet our Lord but we run it nonetheless. And we do so with a spirit of thankfulness because we know that there is a finish line. And the renewal may be long and slow, but it'll be real. It won't be fake. It can't be replaced by anything else. Nothing else will give you the satisfaction as running the race that Jesus has placed before you. Jesus' resurrection transforms our eternity. We know what the finish line is. We know what it's supposed to look like. But it also transforms our lives now. The way that we are training, the way that we are preparing ourselves, the way that we are running the race should be transformed. If you want to win, your training and your performance changes. Even now, our lives should be transformed by our eternity. And so we run these races. And we know that following Jesus is going to take work. It's not going to be easy. And the world is going to throw everything that it can in our path to slow us down and stop us. There will be calamity. There will be sadness. There will be hardship. There will be much that you face in this world. But through the hope and the promise that we have in Jesus Christ, we know that we cannot give up. We know that we should not give up. And we know that He will give us strength if we place our trust and our faith in Him. And then in the midst of all of that, we seek to give God the glory. Because after all, it's Him who empowers us. It's Him who gives us the strength to every day put one foot in front of the other, to wake up and to keep moving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that we don't have to look far to find things that remind us and teach us of You. No, indeed, You say that all of creation proclaims that You are God. From the mountains to the valleys to the people around us, from silly things like bacon and unicorns, that we don't have to look far to gain a sense of who You are. And we thank You that what we come to know and understand is that You are a good and loving God, a God who is with us in the midst of our pain and our struggles, a God who continues to give us strength and courage, a God who will continue to give us more and more and more. And for that, we give You all glory, praise, and honor. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.